The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is November 8th, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. Also to Sornex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. HeartsCollision.com, they're here. This is only for New York State residents, and you can get a hold of them at 518-477-7937. As you know, little Al's training here with me yesterday. I put up one of the videos from yesterday. The kid is doing phenomenal. It had to be at least 25, 30 feet. He carried the 100-pound Hoosa steel stone. Halfway on the way back, he had to grab a 50-pound sandbag, drop the stone, go shoulder to shoulder for 5 reps. So that was a total of 10. Re-pick up the stone and get back home with it. And he got his ass kicked pretty good, but boy, he came right to it. So the week before Christmas, he's going to go for a 300-pound deadlift, trap bar deadlift, as you saw. Recently, he did 270. Well, his record was 250 2 weeks ago. He broke it at 260. I said, you know, you look really good. Let's take a shot at 270. 270, the first time he couldn't even get it off the ground. I wouldn't let him get out of the diamond bar, and I went over and whispered something I'm not going to say on the air to him that kind of motivated his ass, and he tore that thing right off the ground. Very proud of him, man. This kid has made me extremely proud of him, and I don't give out compliments real easy. He's a winner, and we're going to go for a 300-pound deadlift the week before Christmas, and I'm sure he'll get it. He looks great. So don't forget, heartscollision.com. Also, I'm just going to mention two things quickly. Don't forget to go out to Fiorella Barbell Company and download the free top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Just leave us your email address. It's the same thing. Go out to Motivation Muscle. You can do the same thing. And we've got some other things coming on that with a new plugin, so be aware of that. And don't forget about, obviously, sponsorship for the show. It's $500 a month, but you're getting 5 to 15 shows a week. And the money goes to muscular dystrophy. And as you know, both sites are named after my brother Jimmy, who passed away from muscular dystrophy as a young teenager. So go out and check that out. We're going to be around for a long time. We're going to be over 1 million strong. Also, too, Chris Bigelow, he does everything here. That's Monster Development. Let me make sure. I've got his number here. It's 800-687-1609. Tell him Motivation Muscle sent you. Today, this is Training Gain. This is a show that myself and my co-host Aaron Mackin do together usually every week, but we've had a little bit of a hiatus the last few weeks, and we're all back, and we're ready to rip. And I know I've got a lot of notes from people, and I want to thank everybody that has mentioned, you know, they love the show. Where the hell you been, basically? Well, we're back, we're ripping, and we're ready to roll. I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. Well, I'll introduce Aaron first. Aaron is a Marine. She's a president of Paleo Effects. She's a nutrition coach, trainer. She's pretty dangerous with stuff, too. I mean, she's the full shot with lifting and training and endurance and climbing and everything else. But today we're going to finish up the arms today. We're going to talk about fingers, wrists, forearms, you know, some of the stuff I use to train and what I feel is best, you know, because we've done the whole arm. And we're going to have, too, let's see, banana bread smoothie. And we're going to do gingerbread overnight oats, which ought to be pretty slick. Aaron, welcome to Motivation and Muscle.
Hi, Eric. Thanks. It's good to
be
back.
You're welcome. I'm glad to have you back. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and we'll start right in with the training, and then we'll get into everything else we got with you, too.
Well, you know, I always try to give a little bit of a different flavor of who I am every time I come on, because I feel like your long-time listeners appreciate that. I'll say lately my training is one of looking at total body strength and just making sure that like my posterior chain work is in there, and making sure I'm paying attention to everything from like lower back to really all aspects of like glutes and legs, and just really paying attention to the smaller things that maybe get missed sometimes when you get really focused on going hard and heavy and, you know, faster, stronger, all of that. So a little bit of a more of a total body holistic view. I will also say, yeah, I'm full-time Marine Corps right now. I am the presently the public affairs officer for the 100-year commemoration of the Marine Corps Reserves, which is going to be a year-long campaign. We're working on that this year. So that will be competing for my attention. But don't worry, I'm totally devoted to your program.
Good. That's good to hear. I'm glad you said that publicly. Now everybody knows. I like that.
Yeah.
What else? Anything else?
I'm just completely in love with the fall season. I'm so happy for the change in weather, because here in Southern California, it's been hot.
Yeah.
So I'm just loving it, you know, pumpkins, leaves, all of that stuff. I'm just excited for the winter.
See it here. It's cooled down now a little bit. Tonight I got a train, and I can't wait, because this is my favorite stuff, man. It's like it's getting cooler. I'll have all the lights on out in the back of the house, so the place will look like daylight at 9 o'clock tonight. And I've got some big bent rows to do tonight, a lot of neck and grip work. And then I get ready to kick in the part two of Knuckle Down, which is all power rack. I might even lift some stones. I haven't really decided, but I'm going to put most of my energy into the bent row. And I'm using right now car tires immediately. That'll be that's what's loaded on the bar, so it brings it up a little bit higher. And I'm a big believer in right now. I don't want to put my back down in a position where I'm just beating the life out of it all the time, especially I've got about 6 months to get ready to go away to Iceland and wherever else I'm going to hit next year. So going to do the smart thing. But we're going to talk about fingers, wrists, and forearms to get started. And if you've been paying attention to the last few shows Aaron and I did, I talked about the biceps and the triceps. And, you know, they're all interconnected, especially what I'm going to talk about here. And didn't you say you did arms yesterday when you worked out?
I did. And I was going to ask you a question about that, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
My arms are really sore. My triceps, biceps, shoulders a little bit sore, cause I just did them a couple days ago. So what do you do when your arms, your shoulders, everything is sore? What do you focus on in your next workout?
Usually I'll hit legs. Usually always I'll hit the lower end. Sometimes I'll go back in and do the same workout over, but like at maybe about 65 to 70%. So let's just run through it real easy. Being that I do mostly all stuff dead stop, but I'll talk conventional here. Let's just say that how's the best thing to do? Let's just say you're doing dumbbells for your presses, okay? And you're cleaning them and pressing them, or, you know, you're using a light barbell clean press over the head. Or I'm not a big seated press guy, because I think it's if you're going to the back, I don't think it's great for your shoulders, et cetera, et cetera. We know if you're a bencher, you know, that's big shoulder girdle too. But, you know, what I would do if you're doing something like that, I would walk through it and maybe hit one set, two set max for your shoulders. So let's just say in your case, Aaron, you're using a pair of, and if I go too low, you can yell at me. Let's say you're using a pair of 40s in each hand to clean and press for your dumbbells. That's 80 pounds. I mean,
that's reasonable. That's good. We can stick with that.
And you don't weigh too much more over that. So we'll go with that. So I would say, you know, good form. If they feel a little heavier on your first set, I'd drop them down 5 pounds. And I would stay in maybe the 5-rep range with both. You know, one set of 5, one set of 5, you're done. Curls, I like the barbell curl the best. You can argue that with me all day. And if you got something where you can do it with supination, supination is your hands at your side for anybody that doesn't know. I do that because of that bicep injury I had. I do curl with a standard bar, yes. I do curl with an Olympic bar, but not much. Usually if I'm going to use anything – If it's not the supinated log bar I've got, I use the 2-inch Apollon axle by Iron Mind. And I do that, like I've told people on previous shows, I do that because that's going to limit your weight. Whatever your grip is that day is all you're going to move, period. It's a really good way to do things. It's a great way to put arm size on, and it's a great way to save blowing a bicep or a tendon or hurting something, because they will have a tendency to rip things out of you. So that's what I do there. Now, with your triceps, depending on where you're going to do it, you got a spotter. I always like close grip. What I like the most I do is I get a big dumbbell and I straddle it between my between my feet, basically, and I use a 2-inch handle, so it looks like basically a truck axle when I pull it up. So what you're going to do is you're going to kind of give it a little swing and rip it up over behind your head, and obviously both of your hands are underneath the top bottom plate. So if you got a 10-5 and a 25, obviously it's right underneath the 25, and you push it straight up in the air. So it's a tricep press. Not only does it beat the shit out of you and build big monster triceps, it's hitting that upper back too. So you're getting a 2-for-1 there. So I would do that, and if you want to really set yourself on fire, you know, we'll talk about going into forearms. And, you know, the standard one we know is usually people sit on a bench. You know, your palms will be down a little bit over your kneecaps. You'll have the barbell, whatever you're going to use. I usually use a standard 1-inch bar, and obviously you're going to take that and curl that up and, you know, basically pinch those forearms as hard as you can, return them back down over your knees, come back up. I don't know. That workout, is that something you think? I mean, I think sometimes it's really good the next day to go in and repeat that. And I think that flushes you out, cleans you out, and you're still building quality. That's what I like to do. And it's good for your head. You know from training, some days the next day, man, your head feels like it's just smoked. You know, there's days I'll be like, you almost feel like you're walking around unconscious, you know? So, I mean, what do you think? I mean, is that something you've ever done? Would you try something like that?
Oh, I definitely try something like that. And I have done something along the lines, but that sounds great. Yeah, absolutely would do that.
Yeah, but you know what? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I agree with your central nervous system comment sort of about your head being off. Yep. You know, I didn't hit my arms hard enough to attack my central nervous system yesterday, so I think I could definitely go back in and do more.
Well, you know what I'd rather see you do? And I think this would even be better. Grab a sandbag, go shoulder to shoulder for 4 or 5 reps, and then take it and walk it for 25 feet, drop it, do the same thing again. Do multiple rounds of that. Make sure you can get back to your car and go to hell home. You know, I mean, you can do things that way too, but that's going to be a full body too. But I try to turn everything now into a full body because I think that, you know, it's like people say, you know, say you're on a train track, right? And there's an oncoming train and I love to hear people say, well, I got to warm up first. Well, if you have to warm up, the train's going to run your ass over and kill you, right? What you end up doing is you always try to take your body and position it in a way where you've built top to bottom strength, and no matter what happens, you can react in a way where you can move, you can shake, you can twirl, you can bend, whatever you got to do. Because, man, if you got to rely on something like that to make you go, and I'm not saying don't warm up because you should, but your training should be of the idea where you can transfer to daily life. And basically it could save your life. So that's what I would do. But that the routine with the arms and what you did yesterday and the shoulders and the tries and stuff, if you go in and do something like that and don't go berserk and stay at a percentage and do like 1 set of each, 2 sets of each, no more than 5 reps, 3 to 5, I would say, I think you'd be very happy. I think you'd have a killer pump all day and you'd feel a good flush and you'd feel really good mentally. That's the whole idea of training, man. Always be like on that high. So if you came to me and you said, I'm going to pay you $100 to train me today, that's what I would have done with it.
That sounds great. I probably would want to throw in some legs just for the heck of it.
Well, we can do that. Anything can be done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have the plan.
I know you do. So what were you going to talk about with arms today? Wrists, fingers?
Wrist, fingers, and forearms. And I'll start with the fingers first. A real cheap way to really work your fingers, obviously, is going to be two things that I like. And I use them for recovery. And I use another thing I'll get into, too. And I don't think they make it anymore in Iron Mine, but a tennis ball. You can go to any one of those dollar stores or any cheap place like that, buy like three balls for nothing. And I keep one in the car with me just because in traffic sometimes I feel like ripping somebody's head off because they're texting and they're practically running into the side of my car. So I like to have that with me. And I like to use it mainly for rehab, you know, after working stuff the night before real hard. So tennis balls, fantastic. All right. I like softballs because they're a little harder, and I like to see if I can imprint the ends of my fingers in the softball. Just a challenge I like to do to myself. I think that stuff like that, it's cheap. There's no excuses because I'm getting in and out of the stuff that's going to cost you money. Grip machines. I've got a couple different ones, one from Sorenex, one from Iron Mine. Basically, you're going to load the plates in the center of the machine there, and you're going to pull them up tight. So it's going to be like you have a top all welded, and you're going to have another long piece under the top. You're going to loop your hands over both of them and obviously pull the bar that's free all the way up to the other one and hold it. Incredible. And the one from Sorenex has a few other features. It has stuff like a plier hold where it almost simulates a pair of pliers. Pull that together. And if you want to do the fingers individually, it's got this thing. It looks kind of like a very short rectangular block. Top and bottom. The idea is to take the whole hand and use it, or individual fingers with your thumb, pull it up tight and work them that way. And just incredible stuff. I mean, another thing too, I have Titan's Telegraph, and I'm working on that right now. And I don't know if Iron Mine still makes that. I didn't go and look it up. That's incredible because I was on a show with Bill Hinburn one day, and we were talking offline. And I was saying, you know, I've got a Thomas Inch replica dumbbell of his, which is over 2 inches on the handle, and it weighs 176. It's a big globe. You ever seen one of those?
I have not seen one of those, and I'm sitting here trying to imagine 2 inches, right?
It's over two. It's about 2 3/8. It's huge.
And that's what you're gripping, right? You're gripping.
That's correct. That's your grip. And then you got the globes, and it's all one piece. Solid 176. I've pulled it off the ground, but you know, I got to use two arms. Obviously, I want to put it on my shoulder and press it eventually. Just I don't have time right now with all the stuff going on with Iceland and everything else. But that's the thing, and we're talking about that because it's usually the piece that'll give out on you will be your thumb. Usually, you'll try anything that big's always going to try to roll in your hand, anyways. The breaking point, unless your fingers are extremely weak, it's going to be your thumb. So we start training the thumb, and one of the things we were talking about is that, and this Titan's Telegraph is awesome. Literally, it's a small, it's not super small, but you can put it on a table. Once again, you load it in the center, and it's going to have a little piece when you put your thumb or fingers on. You're going to pull it down and meet another piece of steel there. That would be the bottom base. What I've been doing with that is I've been taking that and looping my thumb over the top of it and working the shit out of my thumbs till they almost dislocate. So that's what I've been doing for the thumbs because that's a big thing, especially with everything I've got to deal with. And then what I really like doing is I do a lot of block pull-up pickups, basically stone pickups. And this was Bill Crawford and I talked about this. It's very big for all types of training, which means this. When you're trying to lift those stones, especially in Iceland, most of them are very smooth, talky feeling, and there aren't handholds. Handholds are going to be like different creases in the stone where you could get your fingers in, which help you lift it because you really need to have forearms, and we're going to get into that very shortly to squeeze the life out of this stone. You can do that. If you've got the structure, you're going to get around that sheep pen, which it's pretty nasty. That's all I'll tell you. It's awesome. So what I do is I take varied stones, try to push my fingers right through the stones, do some bent rows with them, and then hold them for time right after the last row. And I do that at the very end, so that's going to fatigue the shit out of you if there's anything left out of you. My hands look like they've grown proportionately much bigger in the last month and a half. They are big, and they're the muscles are getting bigger and bigger in them. So anybody that's thinking about stones or just want fingers and grip, get into that. It's a cheap way to do it. That's what I'm trying to do, is get people to, you know, sandbags, stones, things you can get that aren't a lot of money. If you don't have a lot of money, buy grip machines and things, you can really get the same features with them. So that's fingers. You got any questions with that, Aaron, or you, or what? Anything?
No, I would like to see myself try to grip over 2 inches.
If you could do that, I'd buy you a Ferrari if I had $10 million. Believe me, that would be insane. Yeah,
I've got tiny hands. So that's,
yeah, but that doesn't always dictate hand strength. But yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I'd like to work on my hand strength a little bit, but I'm not sure I could start there. But it sounds
not at all. But I'll tell you, you start just with sandbags, and you start with light stones, and start holding them and pushing your fingers into them. You'd be surprised in a few weeks, just things like, you know, say you got to open a jar of something. And I'm sure you've got plenty of hand strength to do it, but I think you'd find is like when you grab it, it'd be like you'd grab it so hard the thing would practically twist the glass in half, you know? Seriously.
Right.
So that's the thing. Wrists, that's a real interesting thing, because wrists are vital, obviously, to everything we're doing. When I'm carrying those stones, you know, that thing is so wide, my wrists are cocked and bent at quite an angle. So you want to have some really, really strong wrists. Now, obviously, we talked about wrist curls. That's a big one. You can do, you know, obviously seated. A lot of people do reverse curls seated. I'm not a big guy with that. I like doing things standing as much as I possibly can. And I use usually the thick bars. And I've already told you in the beginning that I do that to limit what I'm using. You can still get plenty off of what I'm using with a thick bar. I don't need to go balls to the wall with everything, okay? And I'm putting massive hit on all that stuff constantly. I like doing standing reverse curls with an Apollon axle. I also have a 3-inch bar. I'll do that. I will also do, as you know, I'm a big isometric guy. I will go in a power rack with that, set the rods at about mid-height, and do the reverse curl of that, bring it up against the rods and hold it for, say, a count of 3 to 5, drop it back down, start over again. I stay with singles with most of this stuff because I think singles is the best way to go. It's the heaviest you can go and less chance of injury. You know, with this kind of stuff, you start getting the 8s, 10s, 12s, you're opening yourself up for some damage, in my opinion. But free to try it. Go do whatever you want. Wrist rollers, big stuff, man. People love wrist rollers. Iron Mind makes one of the best ones out there. If you have a power rack, or you have something set up where you can put it through the center, great. I don't. I take it and slide the long rod, the width-wise of it, through the wrist roller, and, man, you can go to town with that thing. So it's basically a roller on a roller. Away you go. Or you can just do it freehand. You know, stretch your arms out and do it, because that's the way to do it. You'll see a lot of people with bent elbows. That, to me, is cheating. Go home. That's, you know, you're a pussy. That's the way I look at it. Well, that's just me. Pinch gripping blocks. I shouldn't say that. I forgot I got a lady here. Sorry, everybody. I forgot.
It's okay. I confuse folks all the time with the fact that I'm a Marine. I can't tell you how many times I drive up on base and you know how they salute you and let you in. Good morning, sir, ma'am.
Yep. All the time. Get out. All right. Pinch gripping. That's another thing. I mean, you know, that goes back to fingers, wrists, the whole thing. I love grabbing the blocks, the blobs, all that stuff. You've seen that on my YouTube channel. You know, every piece of you has a certain machine or something you use. I'm just, like I said in the beginning with Aaron, I was like, I just like going head to toe. I don't really give a shit. Finger to shoulder, who cares? Everything's getting hit, work, pow, pow, pow. So those two things. And then forearms. You know, we got into that a little bit with the wrist stuff, you know, the standing 2-inch reverse curls. You know, I love doing all that stuff. Your forearms are going to get nailed, too, when you're doing barbell curls with thick bars. If you're putting that tremendous amount of heat on everything, think about it. Fingers, hands, wrists, forearms, right? Biceps. Your tries are getting a little bit. Everything's getting a little bit. You know, everybody's getting a kiss out of the whole thing, right? That's why I like using thick bars because they do so much without having to go out and buy zillions of pieces of equipment. You can make your living seriously on a 2 and 3 inch bar. I mean, I don't know how you wouldn't build the thumbs and the fingers and the hands and the wrists and the, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think those things are great, you know. I also like doing holds, anything like that. You know, you can go into a power rack. You know, a lot of people like to, you know, do deadlift holds. You know, you put it up like maybe just below the knee or mid-thigh, you know, and go as far as you can without using any straps. I wouldn't even suggest using straps. That's going to work the shit out of everything. That's another good thing to do. I'll tell you one thing, though, we discovered here. I love doing this thing called sphere rolling. Now, those are big round stones, Atlas stones, they call them a lot. You've seen Little Al out on YouTube. We'll take those stones. Now, I got a 95-foot driveway down and back, and it is not flat surface. It's all over the place. I got news for you right now. You do that, you want to see some friggin' building right there. So that's one thing I love to do. And that, once again, that works the whole body. But just think about when you got to grip your fingers and your hands and try to keep that thing straight, the ligament and tendon strength you build with that. So that's another big one we do here. Lifting and walking, squeezing. That, you know, once again, that will build your forearms like nothing else. You want to be a stone lifter, you got to learn how to squeeze a stone. And I'm talking squeezing to where your forearms are just literally bruised, bashed, and cut. I've had stuff. We were doing this on a dare one day, Aaron. We took the steel stone, and it was like 92 degrees here, and I left it out in the sun for an hour before we came out. And we wanted to see if we could pick it up and see what would happen. So we were training, and it was hot as hell. It was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was humid out. So I was going to be the first clown to try it. I held it, man. And you could ask, if those guys were here, I was screaming walking down the driveway. It hurt so bad. It felt like I put my arms in an oven. When we came back, the skin was burnt on some parts, right? And it was bubbling on one part. And I had, well, they aren't there anymore, but I had scars in my forearms from that probably for almost a year. So I wouldn't suggest anybody try that at home. But we had to do it because it was like, that's just what we do here. So
right. You had to do it.
Had to do it. That's like when I did the Viking, and they said, you know, a real Viking in the winter would take his shirt off and walk with stones. It was zero out or below that day. And being me, not thinking that even when it's cold like that, your body sweats. It perspires. And I had that on, and the stone stuck to my chest. And I had nobody out there to help me. No, it had to come off, right?
Yeah.
It came off, and it took two hunks. I think I still got a scar on my right pec from it. It took like circular things of meat off my chest.
Oh, my gosh.
I like it. It was good. All right, yeah. So what do you think? What do you think?
I think that sounds great. You, for some reason, I was starting to think about farmer's carries because it's just really, it's accessible, easy, works all, you know, works everything for me. Forearms, that really hits my forearms, and I can grip it, right? Yeah. But, and it works my grip. Something I can do if I'm in the gym because I'm not always outside working out like you are, but I really enjoy that. Plus, in the Marine Corps, that's part of our test. We have a combat fitness test. I've got a combat fitness test coming up, actually. Yep. It's only about 3 minutes long total, but it includes, you know, jumping up from the prone, you're sprinting, you're dragging another body, you're throwing somebody over your back, you are crawling on your hands and knees, you're carrying ammo cans that are weighted and running with them.
Are they live?
Well, it's not real ammo.
I'm joking. All right, go ahead.
No, it's a serious question. You even have like an imitated grenade throw at the end.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's a good thing. But where a lot of women fall short in this is the, and guys have struggled with it too, is the gripping the ammo cans at the end after you've been doing all that and running with them. You know, because they bounce and they pull and your grip starts to suffer. Yeah.
Sure. Well, it's the same thing. I mean, the farmer's walk is smoking because Little Al's been doing that. So I started him on that mainly to hit those hinge muscles because a good combination is to do a deadlift, partial, and walk with Farmer's Walk implements right after. So he's using 55s in each hand, and he's starting to haul with those. So, you know, all that stuff, and I've got the ones they have used professionally before where they're a little bit oversized, and when you pick them up and come back, you've got the imprints of the knurling in your hand, so you know that shit's pretty serious, all right? And another thing, too, you know, like sledgehammers over the head and stuff like that, but I think with grip work, you know, you're getting a lot of it indirectly, and like if I was training with you, I think I'd have you on like thick bar work. Because what we could do with you, especially your hands are smaller, we could take a 2-inch bar and train you maybe on like just two movements with it. And if you were doing farmers, that's fine. Then we drop it to one. But, I would probably have you doing a lot of standing reverse curls because, number one, you know my feeling with top to bottom. And number two, I think your strength would shine there. And then, obviously, we would get you in the power rack on both ends, whether it was your biceps or your reverse curl, and have you doing some isometric holds against the bars. I think you would see lines of cable going through your arms like you never did before. And you'd be one hell of a muscular girl, let me tell you. I know you are, but I'm just saying, I think you would be very pleased. So what else? You got? What else? Anything else you want? Say?
No, that's exciting. Like, I want you to yell at me while I do isometric holds now. That sounds fun. Do that.
Who's going to yell at me? I got nobody to yell at me. I yell at me. That's what I do.
You could allow me to yell at you.
Sure, that's fine. You already have, so we know that. let's start talking about, you know, obviously
food.
Recovery, which is the big thing. I'll tell you, banana bread, we talked about that. That is some good eats, let me tell you. So you're going to blow that into a smoothie. So I know you said you love banana bread, so let's get started with that. Tell everybody what you would do to build that killer.
I do. So I'm going to preface this, give you a little context. Today is really carb-centric, and I know that we have – you know, there's a lot of different schools of thought. People like to be ketogenic. They like to do carb cycling. Some folks really like to still do the low-fat, higher-carb, bodybuilding-esque type diets. And I really think that what's important is ensuring that your body's in a place where you have some metabolic flexibility and potentially going back and forth between a couple different eating plans. I don't like to use diets too much because that harkens a lot of weird feelings for people. But I am focusing on carbs today because it's been something I've been thinking about and toying with a lot. When I went paleo like 6 years ago, my body changed dramatically. A lot of things got better in my life. And I was naturally eating a really low carb diet when I went that way. Paleo is not necessarily low carb. It could be very high carb. But what happened was, being a female and training to the extent that I was training, I really drove myself towards adrenal fatigue and messed up my hormones quite a bit. Basically underfeeding and overtraining and being so low carb. I think if you're an athlete, if you're a woman, pregnant, if you've got mitigating circumstances where maybe an autoimmune condition, having a good amount of carbs, I go with Stephanie Ruper on this. She's done such an amazing job with research in terms of carbohydrates and meeting your hormonal needs. I think just to make sure that your hormones are optimal, whether you are a man or a woman, if you train at all, to drop it beneath 100 grams a day for long periods of time is a little bit ill-advised. But so carbohydrates, something I think about a lot. So now if you're training really hard and you want to really optimize your hormone response post-workout, you know, you need to make sure that you get some high glycemic carbs in and some slow digesting carbs as well. So a banana bread smoothie is perfect. I don't eat a lot of oats. However, I do miss banana bread. As I have a couple ways to make something banana bread-like without using flour. I use chestnut flour or just a little bit of veggie protein powder. But I do some oats occasionally, and a banana bread smoothie does taste like banana bread, and it's awesome and excellent. And it's a great way to get in both those higher glycemic carbs post-workout, so your insulin can do its job and shuttle nutrients where they need to go and have the right partitioning of nutrients, and then your slower digesting carbs so that you've got that sustained energy. So banana bread smoothie, it's so yummy. It's so easy to make. Come on, guys. Just get those few extra ingredients and do it. You can do it. Here's what you need. So I think everybody who listens knows that I use an alternative milk. Like I use cashew milk or almond milk, but use whatever milk you like. So you need about a cup of, I use unsweetened. I don't need the extra sugar. Unsweetened vanilla cashew milk or almond milk or whatever kind of milk. Sometimes I add a little extra water, a frozen banana or however much banana you want to use, but typically about one frozen banana, a couple tablespoons of walnuts, walnut butter, or if you're not going to run out and get walnuts and you still want to make this smoothie, use almond butter. And then two scoops of vanilla protein powder or less. I think most of the guys listening, you know, if that's the major part of your audience, they're going to use two scoops of vanilla protein powder. That's going to put them at about 50 grams of protein post-workout. That's great. A quarter teaspoon of cinnamon and nutmeg. You don't have to measure a quarter teaspoon. Just shake it in there. Just like shake it. So the cinnamon is going to help control the blood sugar response a little bit. And that's a nice ride for you, better than up and down. For me, if I did a whole banana and had sugar and everything in here, I would definitely feel it. My heart would race and all that stuff. Then for the bread part of the banana bread, you're going to add a quarter cup of old-fashioned rolled oats. Now you can use the quick oats if you like. There's a couple things here. Quick oats are maybe easier on the digestion because they're kind of partially processed, so some people might digest them better. However, they are also not slower digesting carbs, slower release carbohydrates. If you're looking for that aspect, you really need to do the old-fashioned rolled oats. Higher quality carbohydrate, you get more nutrients and everything. So put all that stuff in a blender, throw in a couple ice cubes, blend until smooth. It's going to be smooth and creamy because of the banana, a little bit like banana bread ice cream, if you will. So it'll be fantastic. What do you think?
Hey, you know, I want to ask you something too. The nutmeg, because I hope you got something with Thanksgiving and Christmas coming. I'm going to put you on a spot. You got something like an eggnog smoothie you can whip up in your head, you think?
I do, actually.
Good. Don't tell it, though. Don't tell it yet.
Wait, do you want the alcoholic version or not?
Yeah, I take the alcoholic version. I mean, I have it. I mean, there's eggnog all over now already. I saw it the other day when I was out to the store.
Oh, yeah. As soon as Halloween ends, they bring out the eggnog.
It's ridiculous, though. You go to any like a Whole Foods or a co-op, man. It's like there was one. Who the hell was it? I'm trying to think what milk company it was. You know, supposedly it's grass-fed milk, but who the hell? What was it? Horizon, I think it was. And you know, they've been in a million loads of trouble with all kinds of stuff. But yeah. I want to say, I don't remember what size it was, but it was like $6. I was like, are you out of your mind, man? Mm-hmm. You go out to the liquor store and get the Jack Daniels eggnog and really get a pop for my money, you know?
Yeah.
Nah, I love eggnog.
Yeah, and I like to make it like the real eggnog where it's got egg in it and it's kind of whippy and frothy. So good.
Yeah, because I think I told you about that place, Tollgate, that's local, man. They make they make that apple. This is the time of year they do three things, apple cinnamon ice cream, they do pumpkin, and they do eggnog ice cream. I'm telling you right now, I eat very little ice cream, and the only time I eat ice cream is go out there because they make it right in that little shop that's been there, I think, since like the 30s or 40s. And it's all the same family. Every kid is – one of the kids every time is taking it over. I'm not kidding you, Aaron. I know what people with, you know, with the gut and all that shit, but I'm telling you right now, I know one day me and my buddy Richie, we went over to my sister's house, and that's when I think they might have only had like the two girls, Natalie and Suzanne, and we had a gallon of that stuff, man, and the four of us crushed that thing. I mean, you know, like when you stick your spoon into something, it's like, damn, man, it keeps like, it's a magnet. Going back in, right? And right. We were doing that, and it was like, it's phenomenal, man. And like, you know, something I told Aaron before we came on the air, this is really the only time like I'm going to start cheating on a lot of stuff. And you know something, I don't really care. I know my limits, and I'll stop before I go nuts with stuff. But it's like I am not gonna pressure myself that way to say you better not eat that because that messes you up. You know, there's Christmas cookies, there's all kinds of stuff with Thanksgiving. I'm gonna probably have a few drinks, which I normally don't do at all. I'm not a drinker at all. But you know what? I'll live through it, and I'll keep training and doing everything. And I think the whole idea is, you know, have a good time and enjoy yourself. Don't put a thumb in your eye and tell yourself you can't do anything because you just don't enjoy your life. So I mean, that's just kind of off the road a little bit, but they got some stuff, man. They got the best chocolate malt in the entire world I've ever had in my life. The best. I mean, it's like unfriggin' believable. I'll tell you, we were talking about chocolate cake the other on one of the. Didn't we talk about that on one of the shows, or did we talk about off show? I don't remember. We were talking about that, and I think I was telling you my mom the other day had everybody and was like she made that. I think I told you about that sour cream chocolate cake with.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. And it's like the fudge frosting. It's what my grandmother used to make. And you got to literally, you can't use anything but beat it with your hand. And I mean, it's real shiny, but you got to beat the frosting till it's dull pretty much. And you put it on. I'll tell you what, I could sit there with a gallon of milk. I could crush the whole friggin' because it's not in a big, it's not like a big sheet cake. It's small and like, what do you call those things? You know, is that Pyrex? You know, like the glass, it'd be like glassware. Yeah. Yeah, okay, whatever you call it.
And you did talk about this on the air, so everybody gets a double dose of your chocolate love affair.
Oh, my God, man, it's like, holy, you want to be my friend, make me chocolate cupcakes or chocolate cake, and we'll be friends for life. All right, so go ahead, continue. I mean, you know, I thought, you know, you'd enjoy that and everybody
I
else.
I do. Thanks for making me want chocolate cake. Appreciate
yeah, you
it.
You should. Everybody should.
Let them eat cake. Okay. So carbohydrates, it's perfect. It rolls right into like a carb-dense conversation. So I wanted to talk about oats just a little bit. People know that I'm paleo, so they might be like, what gives? Oats aren't paleo, Aaron. How could you do this to us? You're supposed to be devoted paleo. I don't think that's really necessarily the total audience here, but just in case anybody that's listening is paleo. You know, paleo – it doesn't necessarily, it's okay. Let's just say oats have been eaten by people since the Bronze Age, especially in the Scottish Highland area. And so there's some argument about technically they're not paleo. What are oats? They're in the wheat family. They're a cereal grain. I am not advocating that people who have typically eaten a paleo diet, go for it and eat oats. However, I think that oats have a lot of great qualities. And if you feel good on them and you tolerate them well, don't beat yourself up saying, well, it doesn't go with my dogma. I mean, this isn't about dogma. It's about what works for you. So I think they are pretty good. I notice my digestion gets a little bit screwy if I eat too much at one time. I have to really make sure that they've been soaked in water first, like a lot of grains, that really helps with breaking them apart, releasing their enzymes so you can digest them better. And that's why my next recipe for you guys is awesome. Not only does it help you with digestion, but it also makes it really easy to just grab breakfast on the go or food on the go. And it's called, and I've been making this for a long time, but I didn't know that it actually had a name, but overnight oats. So some of the health benefits of oats, I mean, most most of you guys probably know already, and Eric, I'm sure you know, like, people and bodybuilders have been talking about oats for, you know, strength and fitness for a long time. And then it was, hey, low carb, and everybody rejected oats. But most people think of them as a pretty healthful food. If so far as grains go, if you're going to do it, it tends to be one of the more easily digested grains, and also has high protein, you know, lots of fiber, tends to not have as many anti-nutrients or phytic acid as some other grains, not as much as wheat, but maybe a little bit more than rice. So yep. Here's some great things about oats. I want to just let you all know in case you don't realize. Oats increase stamina. A study conducted over 3 weeks showed that a diet including oats gave athletes a 4% increase in stamina. Now, we don't know all the other mitigating factors, like did they cut down on processed food, et cetera.
Right.
We all know that they're high in fiber. Not only does that make you feel full, but it also helps get rid of the hormones and the other waste products that your body is trying to shed itself of. Mm-hmm. They help endocrine system function. So that will affect height, weight, metabolism, growth, sexual development, all of those things in your body. Oat extract has been shown in studies to improve endocrine function. It promotes hormonal balancing. So not only helping boost endocrine function, but you're balancing, meaning that it will help normalize, like an adaptogen, xenoestrogens, getting rid of xenoestrogens, preventing estrogen dominance. And that can be a big problem for fat loss and muscle gain, as you guys know, right? You can have all the testosterone, you know, you can be optimal with your testosterone production. But if your estrogen is really high, you're going to have difficulty. If it's really low, you're going to have difficulty. So your body needs to be balanced in that, and pretty high in protein compared to other proteins. I mean, other grains, oats are pretty high, and they've got a lot of good vitamins and minerals, especially calcium. So super good. The only amino acid that it's really deficient in is lysine. And so if you can eat a little bit of, you know, protein, bacon, eggs with your oatmeal, that's going to be key to having the total amino acid profile that you need.
Hey, can I just butt in for a second?
Yeah, no, please, you're not butting in. Go. Yeah.
You know what I've been doing with everything, if I'm even having carbohydrates? I've been eating cashews all the time. Like, I'll tell you why. I've been doing this, and if there's any young kids out there that want to get big, eat cashews and drink real chocolate milk out of a bottle. So, I mean, go to a farm or whatever, and I'll tell you right now, you'll gain. And it's a cheap way to do it. But I've been doing that, like, if I had oatmeal, say, tomorrow, all right, I'd have, obviously, my coconut oil on my left arm and my cashews on my right arm, and I do it that way. Now, like, today, I made I don't know if I want to say it was a smoothie, but it was this is what I made. I got you know, some of the frozen cherries at the co-op, all right? So I had those. I had an avocado. I used liquid was coconut water. What else did I have? I had what else in it? I put something else in it too. Oh, I put in a little thing of watermelon. And I put a kiwi in it and, threw some ice in it and let it rock. Right. And I put also a quarter cup of just, vanilla protein in it, man, that thing ripped. But
that sounds good with the avocado.
You know why I do that, right? I know, you know,
yeah, I know.
Fat. I just want to try to have everything balanced. And I think I told you, I don't remember if it was on one of the shows or when we were talking offline. I've been eating, it's not every day, but I am going to do it every day. I've just been like throwing some avocado in, like if I make scrambled eggs or something like that. And I think I told you too, this one Italian place I go to, Pellegrino's here, they're pretty, look it, they're not using grass-fed beef. I know it. I know that. But I know the owner real well, and they got some pretty damn high standards with everything they do. The place is immaculate, and they're good people, everybody in there. And I think I told you, they make this summer sausage. This stuff is thin as thin could be. It's thinner than like a hot dog. And they load it all up, obviously, with garlic and cheese and everything else. And it is phenomenal. This, when you put it in your refrigerator, your whole refrigerator smells like it. It's unreal. And what I like to do is I throw it out on my Weber grill in the morning, cook the whole thing, take off whatever I'm going to have, make my breakfast, my eggs, my avocado, usually slap a little Tabasco sauce on it, and eat that for breakfast. And it's a great snack during the day because it's in a bag. And I'll go and break a piece off and eat it. And if I got some more, I'll have it with breakfast the next day. So, you know, I don't know. That's it's the fats deal. You know, I know it led from the drink into the breakfast. But, I guess the point I was trying to make was I'm always eating a fat with no matter what I'm touching. It doesn't matter anymore.
Well, yeah, it's really going to help slow down that carbohydrate. And protein, as you know, if you're getting a ton of protein, people will say, well, that's good. You know, protein and carbohydrates, you don't need fat, like lean, right? Well, the problem with that is protein also converts to having a carbohydrate-like effect on your insulin also.
Yep. So. Well, tonight I'll be thinking about the fat because I'll be cooking filet mignon on the grill tonight.
Yummy. Something about cashews, Eric, that you should know. That cashews are a little estrogenic. So
are they really?
Well, all nuts are. Those are not the worst of them. I mean, really the worst thing is not only soy, but flax is actually worse than soy, and chia seeds are actually just as bad.
I make sure I never take any of that. And just so everybody knows, and I'm sure you know this, I like, if I got to go to the grocery store for something specific, I always go down the bread aisle. I always like reading bread labels. just so people know now, because I never used to see it, most bread now is using soy flour, and that makes me throw up. That's disgusting, man. Yeah.
It's in everything. It's
in everything, yeah. Yep, absolutely. So just so everybody out there knows, if you don't want it in your diet or you have an aversion to it, be very careful. Read all your bread labels because the majority of them now have soy flour. Okay, kid, keep going. I interrupted you, but I had to talk about fats. I guess I'm not going to eat cashews too much then anymore.
No, I think that.
Oh, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, you know what you could do with your oatmeal too is cashew butter, you know, and you just like blend it in because it makes it like thick and rich and delicious. I love it. So people who follow me know this. The one food category I can't control and that I have doesn't have to do with sugar at all. It's just nuts. Nuts are really addictive for me. So I'm only allowed to like buy single servings and have them in the house at one time. I cannot have a bag of nuts. I go overboard. So,
Hey, what about this? What about, you know, the shelled ones? Cause especially now this time of year, because with everything coming, right, we're going to see, we're not only going to see a lot of shelled nuts again, we're going to see like walnuts and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the deal with them? Is that an estrogen popper too? I mean, I know it's not high, but are those?
So I can get you a list and we can talk about this another time when I kind of have the information at my fingertips because I kind of forget. But nuts kind of have a good to bad like listing, if you will. And part of that depends on the estrogen amount content, right? It's not just a black and white answer. Part of it's like omega sixes to threes, right? What's that ratio? Part of that's how digestible is this and how much of a burden are they on in terms of oxidative stress. So some nuts get oxidative and rancid relatively quickly and you don't even want to mess with them. But some of the better nuts are macadamia nuts. As long as they're fresh, they're going to be great and low in the estrogenic properties and great with your omega-3 to 6 ratios. So that's fantastic. Walnuts are really good, and almonds are good too. Yep. And cashews are good. Cashews have a little bit of higher carbohydrate sugar content than the other ones. But I personally love cashews. I never really get sick of them. They're kind of my favorite.
Yep.
So, you ready for the gingerbread overnight oats recipe?
Yeah, absolutely. Hit it.
Let's do it. So
this is the easiest thing in the world. I mean, if you're a busy parent, mom, you work a full-time job, I mean, you're just like a human being, right? You're busy in this world. This is the easiest thing to do because it only takes about 5 minutes to get ready and your oats are done. How long does it take if you're cooking steel oats or old-fashioned rolled oats on the stovetop where you're supposed to? 30 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yep.
So in this recipe, you take a half a cup of, I say, gluten-free steel-cut oats. I think those have the best mineral vitamin profile, and also they've got a little bit of crunch to them. If you want your oatmeal to be smoother, then get the rolled oats. And those are also very good. Just get the old-fashioned rolled oats, not the quick-cooking oats. Cooking oats are really a processed food, and they're going to spike your insulin. They're going to be higher in their glycemic load. You want about a half a cup of milk. You know I use almond milk or cashew milk, unsweetened. You can also use water if you want, or a mixture of the two. So I use about a half a cup of milk, and then I add a little splash of water because I like my oats to be not totally like a cake when I'm done. And I'll explain what I mean. You need about a half a cup of protein powder if you want to add some extra protein to this. If you feel good about it, you can also like mix in liquid egg whites. But just know you're not cooking these. Okay. These are not going to be cooked. They're going to kind of cook themselves. And now I told you that chia and flax are estrogenic, but they do add a nuttiness and sort of gel this thing together a little bit better. So if folks are comfortable with a little estrogen in their foods, they can throw in a teaspoon of chia and flax. And some women who are suffering from low estrogen might actually think that's beneficial for them. But if not, keep that stuff out. The protein powder, and the reason I say veggie protein powder is because veggie protein powder adds a little bit of a nutty taste to it. And so I use a vanilla, I use MRM, veggie protein powder. You don't have to put protein powder in this. You could just do the oats. Cinnamon, ginger, a little drop of molasses, and or maple syrup and vanilla. So just think of all that warm, yummy, you know, earthy, spicy stuff that you want to put in this. The ginger, of course, is important. If you have fresh ginger and you can just grate some fresh ginger in there and you like that spice, put it in there. It can taste a little hot and spicy, kind of like garlic. I love that. Plus, that's a great morning, let's say, opener for your body.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it gets everything moving. You know, it's a detox element. It will help your body, you know, basically move things out. So ginger is great. So essentially, all you're going to do is take all of this, throw it into, and I say a glass jar, or if you've got a glass like container with a lid, because if you want to take it to go, that's great. If you don't have glass and you use plastic, that's fine too. I think glass is better. So you could put it all in a jar, put the lid on the mason jar, like stir it all up, put it in the refrigerator. In the morning, if you do this in the morning, you wake up, you grab your jar and you leave. There. These oats are going to be kind of cooked in the liquid that they just sit in overnight. Now you can, wherever you get where you're going, if you want to throw it in the microwave and heat it up and eat it hot because it's cold out, go for it. But just know you can eat it cold and it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's actually really good. I love it.
You know what I like about with that you're talking about, like the ginger and stuff, especially when it's cold out, it's good to, that kind of stuff sweats, besides detox, and you, it's good for your immune system because anything like that with this cold weather coming up, you know, is the way to go. Get yourself getting that stuff sweated out of your body, because I've done like detox teas like that at times, and it's like you can feel a bit, you know, I'll be sitting here and suddenly I'll be cracking a sweat for no reason, you know, but it's because of what's in it too, you know, but it's a good idea to not only use it that way, but it's got other beneficial factors to it too.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and anything that supports your immune system is usually supporting also your liver's ability to rid itself of of toxicity. So they both play into each other. And ginger, it will warm you up. You're eating cold oatmeal and you have ginger, you'll feel a little bit of fire like you're talking about.
Yeah, I like that. I like it's feeling delicious fire.
And super easy. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't have any fire in your life, you're dead. You know what I'm saying?
Fire in the belly. Got to have it.
That's right, man. Fire in the hole. That's what I say.
You could have fire in the hole.
That's it, man. What else you got?
That's it. I just, you know, I'm making friends with oats here. I'm saying don't be scared of them.
No, absolutely not. It's something you and I both know. I mean, as much as I like eggs, some days I just don't want to have eggs. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you eat, that's one thing about what we do. I mean, you are more varied than I am cooking, but you know, sometimes, man, it's just like, Jesus, I don't want to look at another egg today. You know, it's like I'd like to go to the diner now and eat a greasy friggin' pancake. You know what I mean? It's like you just, or I could just get those protein pancakes and make them. Ha ha! I never thought of that.
You could have bacon and coffee. That's like my favorite.
I eat that. I'll eat that any day. I mean, coffee is like, I'm kind of mixed with coffee. I mean, I don't have it every day. I don't know. I like the taste of coffee, but it's got to taste. You know, like how it's like anything. Some things just go with you, and coffee is something that I have to try different ones or go different places or buy ones to make here or whatever, because I never really find one that I really want to have all the time. You know what I mean? It's like, and I don't use sugar. I do use heavy cream and coffee. That's all I put in it. Or sometimes if I'm taking an herb or something that's in a powder, I'll drop that in my coffee and drink it that way. But, you know, I can take it or leave it, I guess. You know, it's not a big deal. I do like it, though. I don't use it for training or anything, but I do like to get up and have one sometimes in the morning. Maybe I'll go read a chapter in a book and I'm all set then. Or go outside and breathe.
Yeah, go outside and breathe. Just go breathe.
Yeah, I will. When I breathe, though, then I want to open the garage door and start pulling shit out and play, and I can't do that all the time. So, well, yeah. What else? I mean, you got everything set, Erin?
Everything is set. I just, underscoring that, you know, cooking does not have to be long, drawn out, or complicated. You know, I know it sounds like a few ingredients you have to get, but really you can use them in your smoothies and all your holiday cooking. You need molasses and maple syrup and vanilla and ginger and all that stuff around. So jump into it, enjoy the holidays and, you know, have a little treat, something a little bit different for yourself and go out of the way for yourself.
Absolutely. Go out and rip your forearms apart tonight, 'cause I'm going to do that. Give everybody all your information. I'll give you mine and then just hang on the line with me if you would, please.
Yes, gladly. Erin Mackin, and you can find me. I'd love to link in with you. So Erin Heather Mackin on LinkedIn, and you can also see my whole profile and my military background and all that through LinkedIn. And then also you can find me on Facebook, Paleo Effects, and that's with an E, effects with an E, Paleo Effects. And then you can also just reach out and contact me directly via email, ehmackin@outlook.com.
That's it. Okay.
I'm not giving my phone number out.
No, I don't want you doing that. No, don't do that. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Don't forget to go out on the Fiorella Barbell Co. homepage and download the free Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. That's an ebook. Just leave us your email address and away we go. It's 10 paragraphs, basic and simple, but it's going to make you think, and that's what you need to do. Commit to something for something, and then take action. Pretty simple steps, but it's I think it's passed by quite a bit today because everybody figures I can get big, which I go, ha-ha, in, you know, 90 days. So, you know, look at what you're doing. Look at this for the long haul. Look at what, you know, you're getting today as far as the training and the diet with Erin. I mean, you're getting stuff that, you know, people are going out and having to spend money on, you know, and we're giving all this content away because, you know, obviously we want to see everybody do well. We want everybody to be part of this family. And, you know, the other ones can just basically go fuck off as far as I'm concerned. So do that. Don't forget to What else we got? FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on Twitter at FiorelloEric. What else we got? Let's see. Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. We're on Twitter at FiorelloEric, like I said. You can get a hold of me, or if you'd like me to do a show specifically with Aaron, you just go to FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And don't forget this. There's a lot of big things there. And if someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or in the gym, you know, don't be afraid to, you know, answer questions. Give your time. Be a steward of strength. You know what I mean? That's where your power comes from, inner. The outer's great, man. I mean, that's a reflection, hopefully, of what you've built in decades and years and whatever you have with your training. But, you know, if you can lend something to somebody that just doesn't know, like we were talking about all this stuff today, this is material that you can use. This is material you can grow from. Do it. And as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to give somebody a smile or a hello. That might be all they get that day. Take a look, because I was telling Aaron, man, I'm like a big-time observer. I love to watch people and just kind of listen, because you can really find out a lot. You know, go to a party sometime or go to a family event or just go anywhere. Sit there and just listen. You can find out an awful lot about who you want to talk to and maybe who you don't want to, or maybe you just get your ass up and leave. So I think it's a good thing, but, you know, I notice there's more people walking with their head down now than ever. That's not a good thing, and I know a lot of them are texting, but that's not a great thing to be doing all the time either. You know, get out there, get some air, go out and lift some iron, some stones, some sandbags. Do whatever you want to do. Stick one step in front, foot in front of the other, and do it. It's a good way to do it. Thirdly, like tonight, I'm going out and I'm going to lift some big ass iron. I'll be fooling around with some stones, I'm sure too. So take those stones and turn them into dust, right? And you know, don't forget too, the Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone that we just built. It's got in blood red domination on both sides. We are domination. We are over a million strong. We are going to be, if we're not, we are going to be the symbol of everything that has to do with physical strength, physical culture, obviously diet, mind. And I don't even want to use a diet because I hate that word. I think if you're eating properly, you learn how to do things properly. And you know what? You just don't overindulge in one or two things. You kind of keep things right across the board. You're always going to do well. You're going to make good gains. You're going to be able to go up and down, whatever you want to do, weight-wise, strength-wise, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think it's as complicated as it's out there, and I know why they do that, but you're not going to get any of that BS here. So think about that. Also, too, as I always say, nobody's going to ever clip our balls here. And as my boy Russell Furr says to us, sends me stuff, and he says, Eric, your podcasts are so aggressive, I swear there's testosterone dripping through my speakers, man. Russell, that's one of the nicest things you could ever say to me. So just go with that stuff. Aaron, thanks for being on the show, kid. Good show.
You are welcome. Thanks a lot. It was a pleasure.
Yep. It's good to have you back. It's been too long. So for Aaron Mack, and this is Eric Fiorello, we'll be back next week, and I'm sure we'll have another brutal show, I can guarantee it. And like I said, go out and be a steward of strength. Stick with us. Tell us, tell some friends, and don't forget, go out and download that ebook. I mean, I'm telling you, it's going to help you out big time. And you know, go out and give us a comment on these shows. Go out. Motivation Muscle has a spot where you can go out and write comments. Give us comments. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. And that goes for all the shows. But I've gotten very good feedback, and I thank everybody for that. So go out and do something, man. Don't sit on the side of the road. There's somebody out there that's waiting for your help. Go out and be that. Like I said, be a steward of strength. All right, Aaron and I will talk to you next Sunday, but I've got a big week this week, so we start right off tomorrow. I got Will Dinwiddie, and I've got John Hart from California tomorrow afternoon. So we'll talk to you and have a great week. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.